All right, we are rocking along. Hopefully you've been keeping up with all the lectures and the readings and the quizzes. I hope that's going well. And I especially want to say that to you because in this session we're going to talk about the objective, in terms of communication, of encouragement. How do you give encouragement? So again, we're talking about communication. Saying something to someone, you're trying to communicate something, and here specifically, how do we encourage something with our communication? So why is this a need? Why is it that people need encouragement? Number one, to help people overcome critical negative environments. We live in a critical, negative world. All you have to do is turn on the news and you'll see that. The news is everything that is wrong in our world today. Husbands and wives, when they get together, often talk about what is wrong. What is wrong with the kids? What is wrong with our neighbors? What is wrong with work? What is going wrong? Parents are often criticizing the children. You're not doing this right. You didn't do that right. I told you to clean up. You didn't do it. We live in this negative, critical world. And everyone thinks they're an expert on giving advice. So you do something wrong, I want to give you advice. I'm actually trying to help you. So people think that they're being real helpful when they're giving advice to people. But what people really lack is encouragement. In fact, I think the rule of thumb is for every negative thing that you say to someone, every critical piece that you say to someone else, you really need to say 7 encouraging things to sort of balance it out. Usually it's the other way around. We say 7 negative things, and then we try to balance it out. Oh, and by the way, you do this pretty good. And it doesn't balance out. So everyone is feeling, you know, bombarded. Their boss, everyone's unhappy with me or with you. Number 2, why do we need encouragement? To help motivate people to try new things or stick with old things. People don't want to try anything new because if they try something new, they're likely to fail. And if they fail, they're likely to get criticized. At work, why would an employee step out and try something new? The chances of success are not good when you try something new. And if you fail, everyone's going to let you know about it. So encouragement is, you can do it. And maybe you'll fail the first time, but we're not expecting wild success the first time. Encouragement gets people to do something new. To help people know that they are making progress. Okay, you're not there yet, but you're farther along than you were. You know, trying to learn. You watch a coach trying to help players improve. He wants them to be way up here. He wants them to be really good. But they're way down here. So when they get here, when they get to the first step, he encourages them. Wow, you guys are doing great. You're not. It doesn't mean you're where I want you to be, but you're improving. You're making progress. And I'll tell you, if people feel like they're making progress, they keep working at something. Why communicating encouragement is sometimes difficult. I think encouragement is probably the number one thing that people need. It's the number one thing that if we who communicate would do, would help people succeed more than anything else. People in church need encouragement. Pastors need encouragement. Parents need encouragement. Children need encouragement. I don't care what arena. Bosses need encouragement. Employees need encouragement. Everyone needs encouragement. But the problem is it's difficult. And the reason why it's difficult, number one, it is difficult to give encouragement if you never got or get encouragement. Encouragement is like a glass of water. You're trying to give someone a glass of water. They're thirsty, you're trying to give them a glass of water. But if you don't have any water yourself, if you're thirsty yourself, see, when you get a glass of water, you drink it. And you don't have anything to give to anyone else. So that's the problem. A lot of parents have a hard time encouraging their kids because when they were kids, they didn't get encouragement from their own parents. So there's like this lack. There's this emptiness inside that is not being fulfilled. And if it's not fulfilled with me, I have nothing to give you. It's difficult to give encouragement if you never got or get encouragement. Number two, many people don't know how. How do you do it? A lot of parents don't know how to encourage their kids. They don't know what to say. When do I do it? So let's say you have this toddler and they spill their milk. Hey, be careful, don't spill the milk. I mean, your initial reaction is to criticize. Every failure is an opportunity to help someone grow. So you take your toddler, they spill the milk. You give them a washcloth. You say, well, let's clean up this mess. Look how much fun this is. And you help them help clean up the mess. And when they're done cleaning up the mess, you praise them. Wow, you did a really good job of cleaning up this mess. See, a lot of parents don't know how to do that. All they see is where the kid failed. They don't see it as an opportunity to turn the whole thing around. Bosses don't get that. Pastors sometimes don't get that. Couples, husbands and wives, they don't get that either. And so we're handing out negative criticisms and we don't know how to switch it to encouragement. Many people just don't know how. Number three, many people are not secure enough with their own position to give out encouragement. Again, if I lack it, if I don't feel encouraged, I don't feel like I'm in an encouraging mood. I'm looking for where people can help me. I'm looking where others can lift me up, and I'm not looking for how I can lift someone else up. Well, what is encouragement? N, part of the word, is to make. Courage is to make strong. So when we encourage someone, we're taking their weakness and we're trying to help them turn it into some kind of strength. I want to give you strength. The words that I say are designed to help you go from weakness to strength. Well, how do you communicate that? Number one, be positive. It's easy to be negative. And I find it very easy to be negative. I'm kind of a lawyer kind of person. I see the problems, and, you know, that's what I gravitate to. I remember when I first started writing out my prayers. I'd write all my prayers, you know, family, my friends, my church. And then when I got to myself, I started writing PMA. And I would write that every single day. PMA. Positive mental attitude. Because it's easy to be negative. It's easy to see everything that is wrong. How can I be positive? When I meet people and I talk to people, how can I be positive? If you're going to encourage someone, you have to be positive. Be prophetic. You're not where you need to be right now, but I know you can get there. I know you can succeed at this. And I'm telling my kids, I know you're going to do a good job with this new job that you took. My kids are now grown up. They're out of the house. They're getting their own jobs and so on. I know you can do it. I see something in you. Be prophetic. Yeah, I love doing that in church, especially with young people. I try to find something positive, something that I see. I see that you're very inquisitive. And I'm looking forward to what God is going to use you for with that inquisitiveness. When I was in fifth grade, I was working on something in art class, and the teacher came by and looked at what I was doing, and she said, you are creative. She prophetically looked into the future and said, you are creative. I used that all through my schooling. I am a creative person. I still feel that way about myself. This is what I am. But I would have never known that about my future if that teacher didn't say something. Be sincere. Tell the truth. Don't just, you know, I think the next one, be realistic. Don't just give idle flattery. Oh, you're awesome. You're great. You're wonderful. You'll do wonderful. You know, and a lot of times flattery is very generic. You're great. I'm great at what? Specifically, what am I great at? I'm great at speaking. I'm great at helping people. I'm great at numbers. I'm great at logic. What am I great at? But sometimes we just give flattery. I just want to say nice things to you, make you feel good, or it makes me feel good. Don't be sincere. Be specific. Build on a person's success in the past. I saw you do this, and I think God has something in store for you. I saw the way you took time with that person, and I saw you listening to them. You were listening to them. You were getting them to speak, and you had the patience to hear their side of things or their story. I see that as a great asset for you. To listen to people, to understand where other people are coming from before you give advice or you start talking. Boy, I wonder what God is going to do. Maybe He's calling you to some ministry. I don't know what He's trying to do, but this is what I see in you. I see this musical talent in you. You're just starting out, but wow, I start seeing good things in people around you. When to communicate encouragement. Number one, before, during, and after challenging tasks. So last time we talked about challenge. Challenge can sometimes make people feel bad. I'm challenging you to do something that you don't think you can do. So there's a lot of failure thought, a lot of negative thought surrounding a challenge. So I need to surround these challenges with encouragement. You can do this. I know you can do this. Now they're in the middle of it. I know you've had a rough time of it, but I still think you can do this. And then when they finally succeed, I knew you could do this. Number two, meetings, speeches, random encounters. Try to be encouraging with whenever you open your mouth. A sermon, a speech, a discussion with your son or your daughter, a random person that you're sitting on the bus with. Doesn't matter. Try to be, in other words, work at it. Today, I'm going to be encouraging with everything that I say or do. What are words of encouragement? You can do it. You are really good at this. You are really making progress. This is why I chose you to do this thing. All right. By the way, with these four things, write them down on a card. Stick them in your pocket. Walk around for a week or so, and then as you engage people, just take it out and look and see which one you can do. This is a skill. Maybe you weren't surrounded with a lot of encouragement, and you're going to have to learn how to, you know, you're going to need to learn this as a habit. And the only way to learn this as a habit is to practice it. Quote, encouraging scriptures. There's so many encouraging scriptures, I don't know even where to begin. Romans 15:4, for everything that was written in the past was written to teach us so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement that they provide, we might have hope. The whole Bible is about encouragement. Romans 12, for just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to us, to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it's serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. If it's to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. What is your gift? You know, you have a specific gift. God gives His Spirit to everyone. He gives a certain gift to everyone. What is your gift? Do it. You have it. Then I have three examples. Gideon. Gideon is in the book of Judges. God comes. There's a lot of problems in the land of Israel. Things aren't going well. People are ignoring God. An angel comes to Gideon and says, blessed be you, you know, some encouraging thing to Gideon. And Gideon responds to the angel by saying, nothing is going good. People are raiding us, they're taking advantage of us. Where's God? And then the angel says to Gideon, okay, you have a lot of complaints about how things are going. How about I choose you? I choose you to do something about these problems. All of a sudden now, Gideon, you know, when you're complaining, you're high and mighty, you're judging everyone, you're looking down on everyone, you have all the answers. But when it's switched around, okay, why don't you do something about all these problems? All of a sudden, this is how Gideon responds. I'm the least. I'm from the smallest tribe. There's 12 tribes. I'm from the smallest tribe. And I'm in the least, the smallest clan within the tribe, and I am the least within my family. So what was he saying? I am the least possible success story to your to what you want me to do in all of Israel. I'm the worst possible choice. And then God says, well, I'm choosing you. And the rest of the story of Gideon is how God works faith into Gideon. Gideon says, how do I know this is true? How do I know it's you? And there's the test of the fleece. And then God tests Gideon at every step of the way, but the whole point of what God was doing with Gideon is to build him up. You feel like the least, but you are going to do this great thing because of me. Moses. God comes and calls Moses. Moses is in the desert. He's run away. He didn't work out well with the Egyptians, didn't work out well with his fellow brothers in slavery in Egypt, so he just escapes. And God speaks to him in the burning bush and says, I'm going to have you go back and I want you to be the leader. I want you to go back and get my people out of Egypt. And Moses says, me? Who am I? Again, he does the same thing like Gideon. All I've done is failed. I'm not the guy. And then the rest of the story is God building up Moses. I'm going to give you signs. I'm going to give you your brother. I'm going to give you the signs of the 10 plagues. We're going to get through this. I've chosen you, but I'm going to lift you all the way. Mary. Angel comes to Mary. You're going to have a child. This child will be the Messiah. Well, how's that going to work? I'm a virgin. This is impossible. And the angel says, all things are possible with God. Mary is given this challenge. It's an impossible challenge. But then God, through what the angel said, lifts Mary up. So Mary in this says, I will do. I will do whatever is commanded of me. And that's true as you try to communicate encouragement to the people around you. What are you giving them? You're making courage. How can you give encouragement? Again, it's a skill that must be learned. So when you're done with this, you take it out. I don't know who you're going to meet in the rest of this day, but make it your goal to try to encourage everyone that you meet. Oh, yeah, I got some more to go. Are you still with me? Wally?
Oh, yeah, I thought you were talking to the people at home.
Yeah, I still am.
Okay.
Are we still recording?
We're still recording.
All right. Because I got more to say.
All right.
Share encouraging stories from your own life. I got a few stories from my own life. Special reading class. Third grade, I was in a special reading class. No one, you know, the ones that couldn't read very well were put into it. So I was in the class for the dummies. That's how I felt. I just couldn't get reading. Okay? The teacher told my father, you know, your son is just slow. I don't think he's ever going to make it in terms of college. Teach him a skill or some kind of thing that he can do with his hands, because he's not going to be one for books and going on to school and so on. Well, you know what my dad did? He told the teacher that she was nuts. And he found these books for my brother and I to do, and we had to do them before school for the next year. And he paid us $1 for every book that we worked through. There were answers and things we had. It's kind of like Christian Leaders Institute, kind of like what you're doing. These books, we had to circle things and read things. And it was all designed to help us read better. And you know what? I did go on to school. I did graduate from a university. I did go on to graduate school. All because my dad encouraged me, gave me courage in the face of failure. Drum major. When I was in high school, I was in the marching band. And I was elected the drum major my senior year. And I had this suit on, and it was a white suit and a big tall hat. And I had a big baton. And I was the director of the band. And before the football game, I would lead the band out. The band would come out onto the field, and then the announcer would say, "And now that man up front." And he'd say my name. And the whole crowd on both sides would be on their feet watching. And I was supposed to sort of prance through the middle of the band. And once I got to the outside, I was supposed to jump up into the air, do a somersault, come down on my feet, and the band would stop, or the drum roll would stop. So it was this elaborate thing, you know, the way to start the whole thing out. Well, it was raining. And the band director came up to me and said, "You know it's raining." I said, "Yeah, I know it's raining." "And you know the grass might be slippery." "Yeah, the grass might be slippery. So be careful. Or you could, in front of everyone, you could fall on the ground." So I said, you know, and I thought that would be the worst thing that could ever happen to me. I mean, I had nightmares about falling in front of everyone, and how would I ever recover from such a negative experience? So it's raining, and they call my name, and now that man up front, and the drum roll happened, and I'm doing my thing through the band, and then I get to the end, and I do my somersault. Well, I didn't really get to it. I didn't get to the somersault, because what I forgot is, you know, I was thinking, be careful on the landing. You know, when you land, you better be careful, because you might slip on the wet grass. But what I forgot is that when you push off to go into the air, that, you know, that force on the ground is where you might slip, and that's what happened. I never got off the ground. I came and I was about to jump, and I just slid right into the 50-yard line. It was a nightmare for me. A total, absolute nightmare. Well, we did that at the beginning, before the game, and then we did the same shtick at halftime. Now, at halftime, usually, because the people had already seen it at the beginning, everyone is going getting hot dogs, and they're getting pop, and they're doing other things. But this time, everyone stayed. The stands on this side, the stands on that side, everyone stayed. No one went and got a hot dog or their pop, because they wanted to see this guy in his white suit fall on the 50-yard line again. They were wondering what I was going to do. And I'll tell you, that first half, I was wondering what I was going to do. So I thought about it, and this is what I did. He said, "Now that man up front, and the drum roll is going, and I'm doing my thing through the band. And when I got to the edge of the band, where I'm supposed to do my somersault and land and so on, I just stopped. And I took off my hat, And I gently walk out into the crowd, and I bow to this side, and I bow to that side. And that was it. And this negative experience became an incredible positive experience. It was encouraging for me because my worst... I thought you couldn't fail or be more embarrassed by this than anything else that could happen to me up to that point in my life. And you know what? It turned into a good thing. That the worst thing can happen to you, but who knows what God might do through you in it. Or what He might do for you. There's always something encouraging in everything you go through. One more of the trumpet. I learned how to play the trumpet. I was in fifth grade, and the band guy wanted me to do a solo. It was a hymn, and the hymn had this really high note, at least for a beginner. And I played in this service thing, and when I got to that high note, I missed it. And I was... I didn't know what to do. I decided I will never play my trumpet in public ever again. This is so humiliating. I'm never doing this again. And after that service, someone came up to me that I didn't know, and you know, just talking in general, and said, "Oh, were you one of the kids in the program?" And I realized this person didn't even know that I was the trumpet person. And I realized people don't care as much as I think they care. And they're not paying attention to all the failures and mistakes that we make. See, we make those bigger than they really are. That turned out to be a really encouraging thing. So I tell stories like this, stories that have happened in my own life, to try to encourage other people who have gone through failures and they think this failure marks who they are. And this is... No. Turn it around. It can be a positive thing for you. So find stories in your own life that are encouraging to the people that hear them. Art teacher, I told that one once before. All right, we're going to end this session and we'll see you in the next lecture.